You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Andy Holding with you to preview Punchestown's card on Sunday. We've got some top quality action to look forward to as well. Some good racing, some competitive fare as well. And hopefully we can point you in the direction of a winner or two, maybe even three if we're feeling generous. Joining me on the line is Andy Holding. Good morning, Andy.
Hello, Alex.
How's life? Everything
okay? Pretty good. Yeah, I went to Cheltenham, as I said. A really enjoyable day. Soaked up all the necessary information that was there available on the day. Of course, it was a very informative day, wasn't it, with all the things that were going on left, right and centre. One thing that can be said was that Willie Mullins had quite a poor day for, by his standards. Mm. One or two reversals, things that he couldn't really explain. Obviously, Jacquardin falling, that was a bit of a shock. And a couple of horses of his at Doncaster, which are well below par, including up for review. So, he'll be wanting to get back on track today before everyone all of a sudden start thinking he's totally gone at the game.
He will. You'd rather have a blip now, though, than in 6 weeks, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like the Paul Nicholls effect, isn't it? You know, it's amazing how the pendulum swings in this game. All of a sudden, you look invincible, and everyone's saying, "Oh, it's only that or these horses turning up." And they're kind of like the bubble was burst with a few of them yesterday. So it gives all the trainers hope. I mean, Alan King, you know, all of a sudden had five winners out of left field yesterday. So it's not all a total one barn domination.
Mm. Okay. And a good mix on the Punchestown card today, isn't there? There's sort of the top quality performers, maybe those races are lacking in sort of field size, but then where you are slightly, you know, you're looking at a slightly lesser grade of horse, there are more of them and it's more competitive.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, we're not going to see any Cheltenham Festival horses running here today, that's for sure, other than Miska. Maybe Felix Young, you could argue, might be okay for the champion chase, but what I meant to say, we're not going to get any Cheltenham Festival absolute bankers or winners necessarily. But yeah, an interesting card all the same.
Okay, well, we will start with the 130, which is a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. And a quite short price favourite here, Andy, as we speak. Willie Mullins trains. Brian Cooper rides Balco de Flow. Robin Time, though, next in, is a consistent type. So's Indian Court. There's plenty of chance here for placings, but pretty hard to ascertain which horse is going to win. We do have a short price market leader, but which way do you think the 130 is going to go, Andy?
Yes, Willie Mullins has got many, many chances on this card today, and he's got a short price favourite in the first, but arguably this one's the most vulnerable of all those runners he's got here today. Largely due to the fact that for the unexplainably poor run at Navan the last day. He was obviously very impressive on his first two bumper wins, and things were expected to take off in a very positive manner on his first start out of hurdles. For one reason or another, he either just didn't jump well or didn't travel as well as Brian Cooper was hoping for. And in the end, he trailed the field, finishing in mid-division. He's certainly going to have to book his ideas up. Connections yesterday, having read Willie Mullins' piece, reckon that he might be better actually going up in trip. So this extra four furlongs he's galloping over today will hopefully bring about some improvement. But as it stands, I do think there's an each-way alternative against him here in the shape of Emily's Flame from the John Brazil stable. Obviously a very lightly raced horse. 8-year-old, only had two runs. Must have had loads and loads of problems or a late developer. And you can certainly see why. It's a real big physical specimen, this horse. So it's obviously taken a while to get on the track and get fit. But patience certainly been rewarded on the evidence of its two starts today. It's a really good run beyond Tombstone, Potter's Point in that nice bumper. I mean, that form alone would stand this horse in really good stead here. And actually ran with a good deal of promise at Nice the other day in a very decent main hurdle won by Ed Wolfe. It's a bit of a stop-start gallop, that, and I don't really think it suited John Brazil's charge because it basically turned into a sprint from two out, which wouldn't have suited a horse who obviously has got a bit of stamina. They're up in mid-trip today, and he's run about 7 or 8 to 1 this morning, so I think he's sure to be in the frame, this Emily's Flame, and gives a really good run for our money.
Okay, Emily's Flame, an each-way selection in the opener. Next up is the 2 o'clock. It is a listed novice hurdle over 2 miles. And all the usual connections to the 4, once again, here, Andy. But Miska does look to be a class above these, Willie Mullins' mare. Very, very nice type. But that said, Royal Caviar was once touted as a pretty nice type and did win when last seen. Bald Dark, you know, there could be improvement to come from that one. Even Monbeg Rose and Staker Wallace could show more than they've shown so far. Which way do you think the 2 o'clock is going to go?
Well, Miska's obviously very, very highly regarded. She proved that with a good win in a listed race at Taunton the other day, beating a good field of mares. It's not spectacular form, but it certainly sets her up for plenty of future tougher assignments down the line. And typical of Willie Mullins with a mare, he's just taking it very steady with her. He did that with Annie Power, and he's done that with Vroom Vroom Mag. He sort of like goes listed, grade 3, grade 2. He doesn't like pitch him into the deep end too soon. And I think that patience will be and kindness will be rewarded down the line. And it looks as though she's been given a fairly easy-ish task. I say that in the lightest possible terms, of course, because no listed race is as simple as it stands. You know, she should really win. The bet for me here, however, is the betting without the favourite, because I do quite like the angle of Bal Dark to maybe get the better of Raw Caviar, who for me has been a slightly frustrating character. He had a string of seconds last season, and there's plenty of disappointed punters that followed him in on every occasion. He managed to get off the mark at 30s, beating Stable Companion Haymart the other day, but I don't think the form amounts to much, and he rather scrambled in that day. He basically is a bit of a king going sort that sometimes doesn't find as much off the bridle as anticipated. So with that in mind, I'm going to go with Baldock as the alternative without Jolly. Ran about 6-4, 5-4 with most firms this morning to finish second. And he, for me, he's got the best form coming into this race. That third behind Min in the grey at Punchestown last time out puts him top of my speed figures here quite considerably. And if he runs to that level here, no suggestion why he wouldn't, because, you know, it's the same course and distance on the same ground, then, like I say, he's got every chance of at least finishing second to Miska at the very least. So let's go with Gordon Elliott here to upset the apple cart, to split the big, powerful Mullins 2 and finish second.
OK. Next up is the 2:30. It is a potential handicap hurdle qualifier over 3 miles. Plenty of runners here, Andy, and plenty of them arriving here in really, really good nick. Few horses that have managed to put a sequence together of late, not least Oscar Sam, who arrives here looking for a four-timer, but plenty of likely types here. There could be a few lurkers in the race as well. Not an easy one to call.
No, I'm a big fan of this Maldini, though, Patrick Kelly's charge. He's already set a reasonable standard here by running third to York Hill. That was back in December over this track. And then he was up to in trip next time out at Thurles, and he seemed to benefit from the extra distance he covered that day by beating Haymount by an easy 16 lengths. He was then pitched into the deep end in the Pertemps qualifier at Leopardstown on his latest start. And I thought he acquitted himself really well, considering that was his first run in the white-hot heat of a big field handicap. Stoned him very strongly, and Ike Catch only to finish a never near a fourth. So with his teeth cut in a race like that, I'd expect him now to, obviously, with his knowledge a little bit more secure, that I think he's going to run a much more positive race here today. Not saying it wasn't a positive run the other day, but I think this is really set up for him here. Obviously, Oscar Sam's got to be included into the thought process, and it wouldn't surprise me if Ross Voss left behind a rather moderate run over fences in the Paddy Power Chase last time out, because the time before he was really impressive over hurdles at Navan. If he gets the trip, of course, that's the $64,000 question with him. He'd have a big, big chance with Ruby Walsh on board. But I've got to go with Maldini. I really like him. He's got plenty of size, substance and scope. Davy Russell rides, gets on well with him. And for me, he's a really good each-way bet around about the 5-1 mark.
OK, Maldini the pick in the 2:30. The 3 o'clock is up next, and it's the Tide Cottage Chase over 2 miles. Felix Younger heads affairs for this year's renewal, Andy. It was won by Hidden Cyclone last year. We've got Fleming Star in next, who got up late to beat Simply Ned when last seen. Mazel Tov bounced back to form last time, or something like form, whereas Twin Light has been badly out of form. Days Hotel and Draycott Place look pretty well held here, but who wins the 2016 renewal of the Tide Cottage?
Yeah, well, everything points in the direction, really, of Felix Younger willing here for Willie Mullins. He's one of the only few horses in this race with a little bit of upside. Quite a few of these have been disappointing so far this season. That most notably Twin Light, who just hasn't turned up in any of his races so far. There's obviously something physically or mentally wrong with him in any way, shape or form. So really, it looks like Fleming Star is the main threat to Felix Younger, if you can believe that win last time at Leopardstown. Obviously, it was the race that Under Scow fell in when he was still going well. But to be fair to Anthony Curran's charge, he battled on really strongly to beat Simply Ned, who looked to be going much better than him at the time. So I'll be quite interested again with in the betting without the favourite. We've got a chance of backing Fleming Star odds against, rather than taking an odds-on price about Felix Younger to win the race outright. I think that's probably the best way to play it, because we know that Fleming Star's got really good form here at Punchestown. Of course, he's a former Grade 1 winner here over further. And it looks as though connections have got him in really good nick at the moment. So taking Felix Younger out of the equation, because we're expecting him to win, I think Fleming Star has certainly got the measure of most of the others. And as I said, we can get a reasonable price about him without the jolly.
OK, so Fleming's down without the favourite in the 3 o'clock. Race number five on the card is the 3:30, and it's the cross-country chase over 3 miles. A fantastic spectacle, as always, Andy. A really entertaining race to watch. And as so often we see, Ender Bolger's got a very, very strong hand here for JP McManus. But plenty of old favourites running here, and what wins this renewal?
Yeah, Peter Meyer's got a really good record in these kind of races, particularly at Punchestown, and he often saves one or two for these races. So I'm going to go with Ballybroker Bridge here to follow up last year's victory. It was run under similar conditions. It was obviously a much brighter and better day last year, if you remember. The sun was shining. I don't think we're going to get that over in Punchestown this afternoon. And, you know, it was a typical Banks race last time. But, you know, there was good horses in that race. Quantity Vision, if I remember rightly, was odds on favourite to win that race. So he's certainly used to slaying a few bigger dragons, this horse. And, of course, he's got a few choice individuals up against him here today. The likes of it are Love Rory, Cantlow, of course, representing Edna Bolger. They're likely to be popular, as well as Uncle Junior. But, you know, Ballybroker Bridge knows his way around here. He's no dummy. And with a good run the last day at Cheltenham as well behind Josie's orders, he's obviously coming in here in peak form. And I think he's an amazing price this morning. I thought he'd be nearly favourite to win this. And yet we can back him at sort of 11-2 this morning with most firms. I think it's an incredible each-way price for a horse who, for me, has got just as good a form as most of the others, more established names. So Ballybroker Bridge looks a really obvious each-way pick there in the 3:30.
OK, Ballybroker Bridge in the cross-country race. The 4:05 is the penultimate race on the card, and it is the Grand National Trial Handicap Chase, a Grade C contest over 3.5 miles. Stamina very, very much the order of the day here, Andy. Who has it? Who's going to outstay the opposition here?
Well, I always like the Paddy Power form, Alex. I think that's a route that I like going down in particular for future races. And Riverside City is the horse that I'm concentrating on here out of that race this year. Obviously, Folsom Blue was third. I'm fully aware of that. But I do like the way that Gordon Elliott's charge shaped in that race that was won by Manila Faru. It was obviously very competitive as ever. That was another good run on the board for Gordon Elliott's charge, following a win, of course, in the very demanding Troy Town chase at Navan the time before. If you win the Troy Town, you're obviously a horse steeped in stamina, and that certainly was no arguments about that performance that day. He's putting together a nice sequence of performances. He's got Jack Kennedy on board, who, of course, has ridden fantastically well in many big staying handicaps this season, and he's fully worthy of his £3 claim. This horse has obviously got no weight here today. He's going to be carrying 9-10. In the conditions, I think that's going to count for a hell of a lot. So Riverside City sneaking in here towards the foot of the weights, certainly going the right way, stays well, and I think he's a reasonable each-way bet in this race.
OK, the final race we're going to look at is the 4:35. It's a bumper over 2 miles. And surprise, surprise, Willie Mullins has the market leader. Ridden by son Patrick, Battleford makes his rules debut here. And is a pretty short price favourite, but there's plenty of likely types in behind, Andy. Horses trained by Gordon Elliott and Jessica Harrington. And it has a slightly more open look to it than some bumpers do. What do you think wins the lucky last?
Yeah, an interesting race, isn't it, this? Willie Mullins, I don't think, has had a real outstanding bumper horse so far this season. One or two that, of course, have suggested that they're going to make into nice hurdlers and chasers down the line. But, you know, considering the Cheltenham Festival is only a few weeks away and it's 16-1 the field at the moment, we're waiting for something to come and really hit the ball out of the park. Obviously, carrying the colours of Andrew and Graham Wiley, we expect this one to be fairly useful. And he was in the process of running a big race on his only start to date at Loughmore when he fell at the last. Of course, that race went the way of Lucky Pass, who punters will know he's trained by Willie Mullins now and has won a couple of bumpers himself this season. So that form, just as it stands on its own, is pretty good. And Iron 8 did get annihilated, unfortunately, the last day down in Down Raw by Avellino. So he's obviously looking slightly vulnerable. There's been good money this morning for A-rated from the Lee and Kenny stable. Not sure what that point-to-point form amounts to, but he's got a good pilot on. Harley Dunn, of course, taking seven off. And coming from the point-to-point base, he obviously stays particularly well. And a lot, of course, depends on how the day goes for Willie Mullins. If he has a bit of a shocker, then punters are going to bypass him. But it's, if the wheels are back on the Mullins bandwagon, then he's got every chance of following in the hoofprints of so many of his horses so far this season in these kind of races. So the bet, I wouldn't say the bet for me, but the selection anyway, is Battleford in the last.
OK, Battleford, the pick in the 4:35. Great stuff, Andy. Great talking to you once again. We'll be catching up with you next week with all of the Irish action. But best luck with your bets in Punchestown on Sunday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.